Going to discuss the book Dangerous Magic: Essays on Conflict Resolution with the author after these.
Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Andre Flock is the author. He joins us via Zoom. Welcome, Andre.
Good morning, Clarence.
It's good to have you. I was suggesting that mediation is a very, should be given more consideration instead of litigation to solve disputes. As an introduction, I think more people should seize upon it because it's a win-win solution. Doesn't cost you that kind of money, and it doesn't take you the kind of time that litigation is going to force on you.
Very much. I think we're moving there already as South Africans. You know, we either beat each other up, or we ignore each other, or we sulk, or we sue each other. And those aren't the only options, and they're not the best options. So,
are you saying
there's certainly a movement towards mediation properly done?
The most intractable of disputes, can they be resolved on a win-win basis?
We must also get away from that win-win. We're not children. We, you know, not all conflicts can be won or resolved. And this win-win thing is often just shorthand, Clarence, for a lazy approach to something. As South Africans, we're far too polite, and we're aiming for that win-win. While that's not always the best solution, you know, it starts with this, I must get 50% solution. And some of our conflicts are so complex that a win-win isn't necessarily the best result. What we should be aiming for is a creative conflict resolution, fairness, equity, and a better solution than the ones that we have in front of us. Now, that may not be 50-50.
I got
aiming
you.
At 50-50. All those cliches about meet you in the middle, 50-50 compromise, you know, those are the old tools, and we keep on using those old tools, and that's where we are,
I got you. And I'm also very scared because, you know, the nature of conflict, you have proxy wars happening, and the handlers and the directors are far away from where the conflict. You're merely actors in a game that somebody else is playing somewhere else. Also, the rise of ego and the kind of politics that we are seeing, very entrenched positions, just rising on a global level, very little EQ in politics where you require that kind of thing, makes resolution difficult, you know, especially the kind of mediation resolution offering that you have. Did we lose him? Did we lose him? As South Africans, we are particularly bad at resolving conflicts. I guess some of us, the options range from suing to sulking, violence to evasion. Very little modern knowledge of the causes and triggers of conflict. Yeah, and that's why we're repeatedly dealing with the symptoms and the results of conflict, like Groundhog Day. And I'm chatting with Andre Flock. He examines current conflict areas of concern and balances the scholarly and practical perspectives in effectively dealing with our professional and private conflicts. He also brings together the latest in modern conflict resolution, best practice, and applies it to our challenges and conflicts. It tells us in clear terms why we should be conflict competent and conflict confident, and then shows us how to achieve that, of course. Conflict resolution specialist joins us on the line again. Andre Flock's latest book, Dangerous Magic. We're discussing that. Welcome back, Andre. I don't know what happened. I don't know if you got my question.
I thought it was something I said, Clarence.
You're saying all the right things. You're saying everything I want to hear.
I certainly didn't get the question. Sorry about that. Give me the short version.
I suggested the nature of conflict. And if you look on a global level, proxy wars, handlers directing conflict from afar, you're looking at the rise of ego, very little EQ in politics, invested kind of position, making your way of conflict resolution difficult.
Difficult, yes, but I really think this is, and it's not my way, you know, this is the result of science. And that's the beauty of modern conflict resolution. It's not Dr. Thor's stuff. It's not stuff we sit around making up as we go along. It's more often than not, it's not nice to hear. It's not easy to hear stuff. And we need that in South Africa. The modern way of looking at this works, but it's it's going to be difficult. We're going to need to change some of our habits and our practices. We're going to have to unlearn a lot of things. But with all respect, I think it's the only way through this. If not, if we keep on using the tools we're using at the moment, you and I or our children are going to be having this discussion 50 years from now, or what's left of us. You know, it's not a luxury. It's not a, this isn't a box of chocolates where we can pick the nice one. This is really the only way out of this.
And you're talking about mediation is the only way out of conflict.
No, not really. Mediation is maybe the strong tool in the box, but yeah. There's several other tools as well.
But you're talking about implosion here. We've got to do this, you say. What is at stake and what's going to happen if we don't?
Take it 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 24 years ago. How much have we, as a country, progressed economically in our interpersonal relationships, in how we see our conflicts? Have we made much progress? We don't understand conflict. We use all the wrong tools. We literally, provably making it worse. We go on social media and we shout at each other. We use facts in fights that objective facts are not the best tools. We are causing polarization. We are drifting further apart. And certainly, you know, we live in our silos and we throw rocks at each other from those silos and we're not getting to the causes and the triggers. That is what we need. Those are the hard yards. Those are the tough conversations we need to have.
Then, Andre, you must take us there. You must guide us there. Andre Flock, of course, the author of Dangerous Magic, Essays on Conflict Resolution. What are some of the conflict triggers, the causes that you have alluded to now?
Some of the easy ones are there on our news screens, the inequality, the unemployment, the corruption. We can do a list of 20 of those in a matter of seconds. But that's where we get stuck. That's where our politicians and our leaders get stuck. We like a bad doctor treating and retreating your cough and never getting to the real cause of the illness. So our leaders and our political leaders are doing the same thing. We keep on sometimes out of ignorance and sometimes, you know, because it suits their agendas. But we keep on dealing with the symptoms of our conflicts, the crime, the disrespect, the unemployment, the inequality. We keep on dealing with the symptoms and for various good and bad reasons, we don't get to the next level, the level of the causes, the lack of dignity, the lack of respect, the absolute sheer mind-numbingly ignorance about identity, how identity conflicts work, how not to deal with identity conflicts. There's a chapter in the book that deals with that step by step. And, you know, you can look around. Once you understand how the engine runs and you look at how our politicians as terrible examples, how they simply don't understand how to deal with these conflicts. We see it on social media. We see it in our own interactions. And we're literally making things worse. It's not a case of being ineffective. If it was only that, then, you know, we could call it a draw and go home. But we're making things worse in the way that we approach our conflicts.
Yeah, and you know, some of those conflicts, a lot of people would write of as impossible to broach the divides. And you mentioned the inequality, for example. It's going to take a magnanimity of sorts to correct that. Are we going to muster that magnanimity? How are we going to find the means to deal with that? And of course, if we find the means to deal with that, we're looking at a global problem of which South Africa is but a microcosm.
We need to draw that distinction, Clarence. We're facing a lot of conflict and a lot of problems and challenges that are global. You know, the economies should be a problem everywhere. Inequality is a problem everywhere. So those aren't particularly South African problems, but we have to add to our misery. We of course have, you know, we have historical problems, and much of what we see nowadays in 2023 South Africa are simply the fruits and the consequences of our unresolved conflicts. Of course, we need to deal with inequality. Of course, things will be better if we all have a meaningful job with a meaningful income. Of course, those things have to be addressed. But as long as we don't understand conflict proper, as long as we don't understand how we hurt each other and how we make the conflicts worse, that we can't get to that. It's back to my example of, you know, we keep on treating the cough. We need to see why we're coughing. We need to go upstream and see why are we such an unequal society? Why do we have the unemployment problems we have? And that we don't talk about it, we don't address it, we seem to not understand, or some would say care about it.
Yeah.
We perpetuate our own, we've been handed a ton of problems and conflicts, but you know, the story shouldn't end. We're creating our own conflicts. We're making it worse on a daily basis.
Yeah, and there's no leadership. I had an interview with a person just before you, and I'm chatting with André Flok, author of Dangerous Magic Essays on Conflict Resolution. And in the early 90s, this is just after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the prospect of Madiba's release as well. Myself and this person that I had an interview with earlier was facilitating conversations with youth in South Africa and youth in Germany, because the wall had fallen and East and West was going to become one in our country. That apartheid wall was also falling, and our East and West was going to become one. Germany's way ahead of us. We are probably being sent back in time with the kind of leadership that we have in this particular country. Leadership is absolutely central to the kind of outcomes you seek.
Yes, Clarence, very much. We have some wonderful leaders and some absolutely awful ones. But, and that's really part of the desperation where my book comes from, where, you know, no one's coming to save us. We must really walk away from that idea. We must stop. I go on social media and I see, 2024 is just around the corner. We must stop thinking like that. Really, we must. No one's coming to save us. There's no person on a white horse is coming riding into to make it better. We need to increase our own conflict competence. We need to fix this thing. And we don't all have to go on campaigns and find white horses. We can do it in your home. We can address these conflicts in your house, in your street, in your community, at the place that you work. It doesn't have to be a countrywide campaign, really. But we need to stop thinking that our conflicts are external events caused by other people, and you know that we're sitting by the riverside looking for our savior. It's not going to happen.
And to do that, André, you need to be a bit of an optimist. I don't get optimism from you, but I also don't get pessimism from you. In fact, I would say you're somewhere between pragmatic and a pessimist. Am I reading you correctly?
I'm an absolute realist. This is my job, but I'm also a South African. I know that, you know, we've been fed so many promises. We're far too passive. We sit back and say, oh, well, party A says that they'll fix it. Oh, okay. But then party B will do it. And so we, you know,
so we must get up and fix it.
All people sitting on a stoop waiting for things to get better. Yeah. I'm not a pessimist. I love this place. But I do know that the stories of old, the solutions of old, the way we approach our conflicts, they are hurtful, they are harmful, and they're not the way out. That's not the map. We're not going to get there if we do what we do. We need the new tools, and they're there. You know, there's simple things that I make you the promise in the book that read the damn thing, and at the end of it, you will be better in your conflicts, whether it's personal or professional or political. That's part of the frustrating bit, and maybe that's what you hear from me. You don't need to be a conflict specialist to be better at conflict. It's literally stuff that tomorrow morning you can be better at. And if we do this on a countrywide basis, if we stop being such brats on social media. If just in your street, just in your taxi, just in how you do your work, you're a little bit better at conflict. I mean, we've got to feel it, and it's got to filter through everywhere. And that, to get back to your point about our lack of leadership, yes, all of that is very much true. But in a horrible sense, all of this is on us as well. Mm. We elect these people. Mm. They wouldn't be doing these things if we don't allow them to get away with this, if there's accountability. Part of modern conflict resolution is exactly that, is accountability. It's not a meet you in the middle 50-50 approach. It is justice. It is fairness. It is accountability. And we need to look at that. We need to stop being so damn polite about our conflicts.
I like that. Why is the book's name Dangerous Magic? What are you trying to alert us to?
It's a quote from one of the conflict studies big guns, Kenneth Cloke. He makes the point that, you know, to move from anger to peace, from war to peace, we need a magic, and it's dangerous magic. And that is mediation and other tools. But it's dangerous because it's hard work. The work that we as South Africans have ahead of us, it's a really hard work. It's unpleasant work. It's dangerous in that it's going to ask us to change, to give up, to walk away, to learn new things, to stop being lazy. It's dangerous in that it shows us the other. Maybe it shows us our own errors. Maybe it brings us closer to each other. And those are uncomfortable thoughts for some people.
I get a lot of hope out of the perspectives of new generations. Do you think that in itself will be an important, you know, part of our passage into, you know, that country where the sun shines on everybody?
No. No. Our new generations are at this stage copies of us. They're not better copies of us necessarily. They learn all the bad things from us. I look at how they approach conflict in South Africa, and that in itself is certainly not an automatic way of looking at us or ensuring, you know, a better tomorrow, as a cliche I would have it. The youth will make the same mistakes as our generation are making. We're simply perpetuating it, and it comes back to the problem of our conflicts. Before we truly understand them, before we have and understand the tools of how to approach our conflicts, the roles that identity conflicts play, how to fix it, the role of objective facts in that battle, they're just going to make, you know, we're just going to keep on. It's a spiral of conflict. How would democracy 24 years on, we're already we're already seeing the performance of a new generation. And can we say that they in any meaningful way better at conflict than say someone from my generation? I don't think so. We need to. Where we can be positive is I think that the new generation is more open to learning, is more open to, they have more to lose than we have. And yeah. if we can convince them that the bad news is that this isn't working, the good news is there is a relatively simple, easier way of doing this, a measurably more effective way of doing this. It would be easier to convince them to walk that journey.
I was wondering there for a second. Thank you for that little bit of good news. I was wondering what kind of doomsday scenario was my next question. But there's some hope there. Before I say goodbye to you, let's take a listen to this voice note that came through. Okay, Joe is finding it. And then maybe just your response to it. And we'll... There we go. That's it. Not yet. Should I try? Should I just fire it? No? Should I fire it? Okay, there we go. It's not firing, Joe. You know, I'm a technical klutz. Okay, but I think just to wrap up, how much is this book? Where can we get this book? It's clearly something that we all need to read, Andre.
It's the easiest way, I suppose, would be on Amazon, Clarence, or you can contact me directly on all the social media platforms, and I'll get my publisher to to get you in touch with a copy.
Appreciate it. Just let's take a listen to this voice note and see if there's a comment that is necessary from you.
Hi, Clarence. I'm listening to your guest, and thoughts come to me about, you know, even when you have your conflict in your workplace, often a little thing is taken a bit too personal, and then the thing is, you know, thrown out of proportion, and there the whole thing starts with deep ill behaviors towards one another, whereas it could have been simply just sorted out in a very amicable way, and then there was no need for this conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. Any closing comment from you there, Andre Flock?
Have the conflict. Don't be amicable. Sort it out. Get the truth out there and then fix it.
I like that.
Amicability is often just a mask we put on things that, you know, it creates cyclical conflict. I'm friendly with you because I don't want to offend, and in the process,
you know, so you're saying we must have those courageous conversations. We must have them.
Have them. We need better conflicts, not less conflicts.
Not the same conflict, exactly. We're going to have to wrap it there. Thank you, Andre. You are certainly an inspiration.